Welcome to the weekly podcast of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, located in the city of Middletown, New York. Today's message will be brought to you by our senior pastor, Reverend Albert Feliciano Sr. Each week, we stream our live recorded services to encourage, build up, and edify our listening audience. Our aim is to share with you the uncompromised and infallible word of the living God. Our prayer is that today's message will draw you closer in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor Albert with today's word.
Glory to God. Well, if you recall, for those that were here last week, we had started the message called Hearing the Voice of the Holy Spirit. Last week it was part 7. This week it's part 8. Amen. We were not able to finish that message. Time ran out and we decided to pick up where we left off. And I had asked the Lord to help me implement some Mother's Day words of comfort and enrichment and all that, and I believe God has given me something to share. So we're going to finish last week's message, which is not going to be long, and I do have a few words that I'm going to share from God's word for our mothers. So again, today is the final part of our Holy Spirit series. We're going to be reading in the book of John, chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
The word of the Lord says, beginning at verse number 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him. For they do not know the voice of strangers. Glory to God. Saints, you may take your seats in the presence of the living God. Praise the Lord. Again, I wish every mother in this room a happy Mother's Day. Praise the Lord. Some of our mothers are away this weekend with family members, and I celebrate their ability to get away and just be with their loved ones. And I'm so grateful to God for every single mother in this room. Praise God. So let's get right into today's message. Again, we're going to integrate, you know, the Mother's Day with what we had last week. Amen. So I'm going to go as quickly as I can to do a quick recap, just in case you missed last week's message. But we were talking about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And one of the first things we discussed was that in order for you to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, you have to be willing and able to decide for yourself. A lot of people in the faith, of course, they think this is a weird subject. And right away you start talking about the Spirit of God and the gifts of the Spirit and hearing the voice of God. And right away people get weirded out. So it is a supernatural thing, and you must decide for yourself. We also discussed that there are spiritual disciplines: prayer, fasting, studying the Word of God, worship, having a devotional life, dying daily. All these things, these are spiritual disciplines. If you don't already have an active lifestyle where the spiritual disciplines are being done daily, it's going to be very difficult for you or for you to perceive or even hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. We have to understand that hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit is supernatural. Praise God. Therefore, your life must be in spiritual order, in proper spiritual alignment, or you will be tone deaf. We spoke about that last week. We began by saying, number one, the Holy Spirit always speaks in line with God's holy word. This is why it's important to study the Word of God. We also know that the Holy Spirit is going to point us to Jesus Christ. He is always looking at pointing you to the Father, to the Son, and to the presence of the living God. Amen. The Holy Spirit's voice is not your voice. It's not your will, and it's not your emotions. It's not your conscience. It is the Holy Spirit. His voice is holy, it's perfect, and it is without blemish. The Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. We spoke about how the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. We talked about inner witness, promptings, nudgings, quickening. We talked about the unction of the Holy Ghost. I gave several examples. We also spoke about peace. Let the peace of God that rules your heart, let peace be your umpire. We talked about how umpire, the ruling of the umpire, and God is peace. God is the author of peace. And in decision making, especially when you need to make decisions that are going to affect your whole family, let peace, the peace of God, rule your heart. So if peace is there, God is in it. If there is no peace, then God is not part of that plan. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Lastly, before we cut off, we spoke about a very important situation where the Lord speaks through dreams, visions, and prophecies. Praise God. We spoke about dreams and that if God does speak to us through a dream, he's also going to give us an interpretation. What good would it be for God to speak to us in a dream and then we don't understand the dream or have no revelation or interpretation? So God is always looking to reveal himself, and this is why it's important to write down your dreams. Write down the details, the colors, the numbers, the day, the time of year, the seasons, all those little things, they add to the message. Amen. Write it down while it's still fresh in your mind. And we spoke about visions. There are open visions. There are closed visions. I gave you some examples. We spoke about prophecies. Yes, the Holy Spirit still speaks through prophets. Amen. Your sons and daughters, your men servants and maid servants will prophesy. And not only in the New Testament, but it says in the latter days, I will pour out my spirit. So we looked in the book of Joel chapter 2, and dreams, visions, and prophecies are all in two verses. They're all together. Amen. So that just abolishes the whole cessationism group that believes that there are no more prophets or dreams or visions and that God doesn't use the gifts anymore. Amen. The gifts are for us. They are for today. And it is a beautiful blessing and a wonderful adventure. So I pick up now where we left off. All right. Amen. If you need to get some details, just go right back to the video or the podcast. So number three, we start today. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through revelation. Glory to God. John 16, 13. These are Jesus' words. He says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Glory to God. Somebody say revelation.
Revelation.
Hallelujah. Revelation. That means God is going to prepare you before it happens. He's going to reveal himself. He's going to reveal his plan to prepare you. The Spirit of God prepared the Lord Jesus Christ before he would suffer or before he would go through certain issues in his life. Look at Matthew 4:1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. If you are paying attention to the voice of the Holy Spirit, he's going to let you know, hey man, you're about to experience a problem. You're about to experience temptation. You're about to experience some kind of crisis. Prepare your heart. Sometimes the Lord will say, you need to go and prepare a fast because what you're about to do, what you're about to go through is going to be heavy for you. And you might have to cast out some spirits. You might have to deal with some demonic oppression or demonic entities. And in order for them to come out, you need to be prayed up. And if you are paying attention, you are sensitive to the voice of God, you would be ready because your spirit will be tuned in to what God is saying. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Glory to God. To receive revelation from the Holy Spirit is like a horse. You know, the race horses, right? They have these blinders on because the jockeys want the horses to just run straight. They don't want to be distracted by the one to the left or the one to the right. Sometimes the horse, if he sees another horse, he's going to say, well, let me just lap with him. Let me just keep the same pace as the other. He might be faster, but because there's a horse to his left, a horse to his right, he may just stay, let me just stay with my boys. Let me just ride with my boys. Let me not break the flow here. Let me not be the one that goes ahead of the pack. Let me just, so they have blinders. blinders so that the horse doesn't see anybody and just gives it all he's got. Amen. And when the Holy Spirit takes away the blinders, now we're open to see all that is around us. Now your eyes are open, your discernment level, your awareness, your understanding of spiritual things now begins to take place. Hallelujah. It's a deeper revelation, a divine understanding of God's word and God's direction. It's the difference between the logos and the rhema. Praise God. A lot of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but logos is a Greek word for the written word of God. Logos. It's just the written word. And so many of us come to the Bible and read the Bible in the logos as written word from God. Many people don't even pray. And then they wonder why the minute they start reading the word, they start doing this. You know why? Because the word of God is weighty. Yes. It holds the weight of eternity. It's an instruction manual, a historical record. It's of yesteryear, but it's also for the future. Amen. It gives you an instruction way to live, how to raise your children, how to raise your sons and daughters, how to comport yourself at work, how to behave in the body of Christ, how to live, how to talk, how to walk. It's all of those things, and that's why it's weighty. That's why we need to be in the Spirit. Before you start reading, you pray, God, open up my heart. Open up my mind, my spirit. Allow me to be sensitive to your word. Allow my mind to understand, to be able to receive it. Plant your word in my heart. If we were to do that, more of us would understand the word of God. It would take us deeper into the things of God. But oftentimes we read it like it's a novel, praise God. Or we might be saying, well, let me do my Bible reading today. I'll do my two or three chapters and commit my daily reading and go right to sleep. And no sooner that you close the book or you turn off the Bible app on your phone, oftentimes you don't even remember what you read. Rhema is totally different. Hallelujah. Rhema is when the word of God comes to life, when it is revealed, when God gives you a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation of God's word. I'll give you some of my favorites, just rhema. These are beautiful nuggets of scripture, and there's so many of them. They're constantly coming. Praise God. But I love to refer to this one. But Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den, do you know why the lions did not eat him? Because Daniel, the reason why he was thrown in prison was because he prayed three times a day. That means Daniel was prayed up. He was in the spirit. And how many know that lions don't eat spirit, lions eat flesh. Amen. So when you're in the spirit, even the flesh can't attack you. Praise God. But those that deceived the king and those that plotted Daniel's death, the Bible says that when they were thrown in, their bones didn't even hit the ground. They were ripped to pieces. When they were in the air, those hungry lions ripped those bodies to shreds before their bones even hit the ground. That's the difference between the spirit and the flesh. Let me give you another example. Adam was pierced in his side, and the rib was taken out of Adam, and God made a woman. Praise God. He woke up and said, wow, man, praise God. Hallelujah. And he called her woman, praise God, because she was taken out of the man. But Jesus also was on a cross, hallelujah, and he was pierced on his side, and he was put to sleep. He was put to death on the cross. They pierced his side, and when he resurrected, the bride came back. They're now one with him. Those of us in Christ are one spirit, right? Adam and Eve, the two became one flesh, and Jesus, when he came and resurrected, he purchased the church. Praise God. And we became one flesh with the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you got that, but for the rest of you, I'm going to give it to you in the word. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him.
Amen.
Amen. That's some good stuff right there. Revelation makes the word of God come alive in your spirit. You begin to live your life by following the word of God, living as the word being alive and absolute. Praise God. Psalm 119, verse 18, it says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Praise God. Listen, I'll tell you the truth. I'm not a big reader. I don't like to read. I don't think many men like to read. If I'm telling the truth here, and the men are telling the truth, I don't think there's not one of us that enjoy reading. If you come to my house and you look through my library, you won't see a single book of like fiction or, you know, some kind of stories. I don't even like testimonies for the most part. All the books that I have in my library are something to do with the Word of God or with some kind of concordance or biblical research, encyclopedias, studies on different chapters of the Bible. But I enjoy the Word of God so much. I love to read the Word. But when it comes to other books, I'd rather see the movie. Amen. Amen. 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
All right. Praise God. I'm not alone. I'd rather see the movie. But the reality is, when you're reading God's word, there's something different about God's word than any other book. Because when you're reading God's word, your spirit, there's something that starts bubbling up inside of you. You can't even stop. Like, you don't even want to put it down. When I read the word of God, my spirit comes to life. My body, my soul, I come energized, if you will. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go outside and talk to somebody about Jesus. It's a wonderful thing. I remember early on in my walk with the Lord, it was like I was addicted to the Word of God. I couldn't get enough. I couldn't put the book down. I even got in trouble. My mom used to yell at me, put that away. You got to go to school tomorrow. And click, I remember with a flashlight, I would click the flashlight and continue to read in my bed. Then I would put on sermons on my Sony Walkman. I had cassette, the Word of God, and sermons on cassette. If I showed a picture of a cassette to many of these kids, they'd be like, what's that? And they'd put their finger in the holes thinking it's a button. You can't swipe up on a cassette. Hallelujah. But when the revelation of the Word of God begins to come alive, everything changes. You begin to see victory in everything that Jesus has accomplished for us. You begin to see the principles of faith and how to overcome things in the world. Praise God. You begin to see how the Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God in your active life, because you see the Word of God as a sword of the Spirit. You understand that it has power. Praise God. How many know the Word of God has power? Power to change your situation, power to transform your life, to transform your children. I'm believing God by the Word of God that my son is going to come back to the feet of the cross.
In the name of Jesus.
I'm believing God for my wayward children, for my wayward son. I'm believing God for my grandchildren to all come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm believing, I'm holding the power of God's word and his promises. I'm holding him to his word. How many are praying for your sons and daughters to marry saved spouses? How many are praying for their future? How many are praying right now for the things that are to come? I know Jesus is coming, but should he tarry, praise God, we still have to occupy until he comes. And many of us are praying for these wonderful things outside, but we're not even praying for our own kid. How can they get a saved spouse and they're not saved?
Right.
We got to pray them into the kingdom. Pray for their salvation. When you begin to apply God's word, everything begins to change. You know that Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow. That means flesh. Hallelujah. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Glory to God. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Let me read some more. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. How many need wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of God. Praise the Lord. If we pleaded and asked God for wisdom, He is faithful and just and gives liberally without measure. He gives us what we ask for. Lord God, thank you, Lord. Galatians 1:12, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, the Father in heaven, the givers of revelation. Glory to God. Point number four. The Holy Spirit will often speak literally through voice and sometimes an audible voice. Hallelujah. Some of us know the scripture in Samuel with the prophet, little young boy Samuel, the prophet. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 2 through 10. I'm not going to read it, but you could read it in your time. Write it down on your notes. But I'm going to paraphrase. Three times in this story, after Hannah had weaned him and gave him to the prophet Eli to raise him in the temple, three times in the middle of the night, God woke up young Samuel in an audible voice. And three times Samuel went back to Eli, the prophet, and said, "Here I am," assuming that Eli was the one that was calling him from the other bedroom. And Eli finally, after three times, somebody say, duh, hallelujah. After three times, Eli perceived it was the Lord. And he told young Samuel, he says, next time that voice calls your name, next time that voice calls you out, don't come to my room. You get out of bed and say, "Lord, here am I. Your servant is listening." And God called him again the fourth time and instructed Samuel in the word of the Lord. I'll tell you the truth. The word wasn't a good word. Hallelujah. Eli wasn't going to be happy about that one. Praise God. But Samuel, young Samuel, gave the word nonetheless. Praise God. Because even as a young child, he respected God and respected his word. How many know when God gives you a word, you can't add to it and you can't take away from it? And if you do, you're going to be accountable before the living God. This is why it's so difficult sometimes to stand at this altar and preach sometimes the words that the Lord gives. And people are like, ouch, amen, ouch and amen, ouch. But listen, the word is a double-edged sword, piercing soul and spirit, bone and marrow. That means before the word is given, it's been slicing and dicing me like Fruit Ninja all week long. Sometimes I stand here in fear and trembling. And you know, I'm looking. There's sometimes long faces. Because when the word starts to penetrate, when the Spirit of God starts to convict, there's long face. And body language. You know? And then people get up and go to the bathroom and go to their car and say, "Oh, I forgot something," and psh, drive home. But I'm going to tell you something in the spirit of love and of the Holy Spirit. If I don't say it, God's going to rebuke me and God's going to deal with me. So I have to let it out. Praise God. And I pray to the Father that He gives me the words of wisdom to give it in the most loving way I can give. But it's hard to say, repent or die. How do you change that? How do you fix that? How do you put sugar on that? You know, how do you put sugar on that? Glory to God. I believe there was a time in my life that I was awakened one morning, early in the morning, by the actual audible voice of God. But I'm going to tell you that while I know it was God that spoke, it was so creative the way that He spoke to me, because my ears heard it crystal clear. But it wasn't a natural type of voice. What I mean by that is like a human voice. It was very strange. I heard a voice that sounded almost electronic. And yeah, it was pretty intense. I remember this was like a Friday night. It could have been a Saturday. It was a Friday night, as a matter of fact. But when I had heard this voice, I woke up and immediately the Lord gave me instruction. And I knew I had to change the message. And it turned out to be a three-week series, a three-week study. But you know what it was? He says to me, hell is real. That's what he said. But it was electronic. It goes, hell is real. Like if you ever seen movies where they have these computer image kind of voices, it was like that. It was hell is real. A real squeaky electronic type of voice. And I woke up, I said, oh my God, what was that? You know, I knew immediately. And I ended up preaching a sermon. It was a series called Overcoming Darkness. There were three messages. Hell is real. Are you famous? Which is about, you know, is your name famous among the evil ones? And then the last one, unleash the fire. Unleash the fire of God. We've been given authority to trample over all serpents and scorpions, over every creeping thing that crawls on the earth, and to overcome all works of darkness. Yes, hell is real, but it was not prepared for you or me. Yes, hell is real. And the only way you get there is by a simple refusal of the love and the gift of God, the mercy of God. That's the only way you end up there. Point number five. The Holy Spirit speaks through other believers, praise God, through signs and even through circumstances. Let me give you a scripture, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Praise the living God. The Holy Spirit will speak through others. God uses people to speak to other Christians. God will use someone who is saturated, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to speak life into someone else in the faith. Glory to God. God will use other believers, and even in scripture, God used a donkey. The Lord even used a donkey to speak to Balaam. You can look it up in the book of Numbers, chapter 22, for those that are taking notes. But three times, an angel of the Lord blocked the road, and Balaam was really a wicked prophet. And each time the donkey saw the angel, Balaam would kick him and hit him and beat him and try to say, come on, move. But the donkey's eyes were open and he saw the angel of God. He beat his donkey for not obeying him. And this went on three times. Afterwards, the Lord, the Bible says, opened up the mouth of the donkey and the donkey rebuked him. Said, dude, what are you doing? And there's my wife in the back line, beat him, beat him, beat him. The donkey said, don't you see what's before you? The angel of the Lord is preventing me from going further. Why do you keep beating me? It's there. Read it. And then his eyes were open. And the angel of the Lord, listen to what the angel told Balaam. He said, if it were not for your donkey, I would have killed you and spared the donkey. It's there. Read it. That's a quote from the angel of God. Sometimes we're more stubborn than a stubborn mule. Sometimes we want to do our thing so bad and can't nobody stop you, not even a donkey. And the angel of God is sent to try to prevent you from ruining your own self, ruining your life, or doing something that is going to offend God. And God will use an animal to try to stop you. And even then, you don't want to stop. Praise God. Somebody tell your neighbor, I hope he ain't talking about you. Praise God. The angel of the Lord said, I'm here to prevent you from your perverse way. And you're beating up a donkey. Then the angel of the Lord says, but I'm going to give you another chance. You're going to say exactly what you are instructed to say. You're not going to add a word. You're not going to take it away. You're going to do exactly as instructed. Praise God. That's some serious stuff. The Holy Spirit speaks through signs and circumstances. Praise God. I'm going to read a few verses from 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world. Somebody say culture.
Culture.
They speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. Hallelujah. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. Hallelujah. We're talking about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. You've got to be in it to win it. You got to be in it to hear it. Praise God. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Last week I spoke quite a bit about prophetic words and people speaking into your life and about eating the fish and spitting out the bones. But we are supposed to test the spirit. Every word should be of confirmation of what God is already speaking in your heart, unless God is instructing you to do something. But again, it'll always be in line with God's word. Right. Sometimes people will come up to you and give you a false word. And you've got to be strong enough to not despise prophecies, but to pray. Go before the Lord. Lord, is this for me? Is this the word you have for me? And if it is, then fine. Praise God. Eat the fish, spit out the bones. But if it's all bones, you need to go back to that person and say, I'm sorry, but that is not the word of the Lord. Love them. I still love you, but you've got to free yourself from that. Don't even let there be an assumption that you're carrying that word, because it could have alternative circumstances happen in your life. Here he says, if someone says Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then he is of God. But if he does not come in the flesh, he is not of God. He is a spirit of Antichrist. You know how many people now reject Jesus Christ as being God or even coming to earth? There are numerous Antichrists on the earth. You may work with some of them at the workplace. You may drive through their cities and towns. You might purchase and frequent their establishments, their stores. Doesn't change the fact that they deny Jesus Christ as God. There are Muslims, even Judaism. There are those that say, oh, he was a good rabbi. He was a good teacher. No, he was God in the flesh who walked among us, died, and rose again. Bore our stripes, took our sickness, our disease, our infirmities, and he rose. He had the power to lay his life down, the power to take it up again. Muhammad, his bones are still in the ground. Buddha, Krishna, all of them, they're all in the ground. You want to get my attention? Come out of your hole, and then we can talk. Praise God. John 14, 26 through 27. You've heard these verses quite a bit throughout these last 8 weeks. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Praise God. How many love the peace of God? If you have it, you know what I'm talking about. That's why there's only like five hands that went up. Praise God. Many of us do not have the peace of God. I'm telling you, listen, I get bills that come to my house, say, you owe $107,000. Like, nah, error, praise God. I already beat that giant. I hit that giant last couple years ago. And they still try to send letters to scare. You ain't stealing my peace. You ain't stealing my joy. I got letters to prove that's done.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
But there's peace that even in the midst of stuff, even in the midst of crisis, when everything seems to be going crazy, you still have peace. Yes. There's a picture I've used a couple times years ago, and there's a picture of a little finch, a little bird, standing on a rock, and it's literally by the ocean. There's waves crashing, bam, hitting the rock, bam, bam, rain, there's storm, gray clouds, and there's just this little bird standing on a rock going, whistling through the most chaotic storms ever imaginable. That is a true definition of the peace of God. Even the storms crashing about around you ain't even worrying you. That's the peace of God. Wonderful, blessed peace. To conclude, I'm going to give my final point on this series. And I think this is the biggest, strongest way that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. By no means is this an exhaustive list, but I'm going to tell you the truth. This one is one of the greats. I saved the best for last. The Holy Spirit speaks through other believers. I don't know how I missed that. Praise God. Oh, I didn't change it. My bad. But the word is prayer. The Holy Spirit speaks through prayer. Praise God. Speaks to us in prayer. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. I had AJ read that last week. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. Amen. Again, the Holy Spirit speaks through prayer, or speaks to us in prayer. Amen. Prayer, saints of God. What is prayer? It's simply a dialogue between man and God. It is a conversation. It is a two-way communication. It means one person is speaking and the other is listening. And then you take turns. Then the other person speaks and you listen. Oftentimes, and I understand why this happens, but we come to church and we believe that prayer is like the corporate prayer where someone will pray and we agree. Or we pray, and we say in Jesus' name, amen, and we get up and walk away. That's prayer, yes, but that's corporate prayer. There's a total difference when you have personal prayer with God. When you have a prayer closet, when you have a secret place, whether you're in your car or in your war room or in your bathroom. My bathroom was my prayer closet for years until I became an empty nester. Praise God. Now I can pray anywhere. But let me tell you something. When you have a place where you meet with the Father in heaven, it becomes your sanctuary. It becomes your temple, your monument place, your altar, a place where God speaks to you. But in the prayer room, saints of God, listen, if you learn anything, don't miss it. What I'm about to tell you is going to change your prayer life. But when you pray, don't just bring up your wish list. Don't you think God already knows what you need? He says in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 26, he says, before you even ask, I will answer. While you're calling on me, I will already have heard you. So oftentimes we call, I need the help with my cell phone bill. I'm out of money. You know, listen, begin to pray and start your prayer with worship. Start with worship. That's always the way to start. I come before you, precious Father, humbly bowing before your throne of grace. I love you. You are my Lord. You are my rock. You are my foundation, my Savior, my strong and mighty tower. You are all in all. You are everything to me, not only to me, to my wife, to my children, to my grandchildren. You are the lover of my soul. I don't even know why you love me. Praise God. Because sometimes I don't even love me. Hallelujah. But you love me. You have an everlasting love for me. I can't even understand your love. I mean, we could go on and on. You get lost in worship. Worship. The righteous run into you and they are safe. We are more than overcomers. We are conquerors. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides me and comforts me and teaches me all things. Thank you for protecting me against my enemies, those that have darts in their eyes, those that have darts in their tongue, those that have knives in their hands. Oh God, thank you for rescuing me. Thank you for taking me out of the mud, cleaning my life up. We begin to talk to the Lord. And we begin to tell him how much he means to us. And then after that, you could begin to have devotion. Oh, Lord, I worship you. Oh, God, I thank you. What should you have me pray for today? How would you wish to speak to my heart? Speak to me, Lord. You know I love to hear your voice. Speak to my heart, Lord God. And zip it. Turn to your neighbor and say, zip it good. Zip it. Zip. No, that's not a song. No, that's not. I said zip it good. Hallelujah. My wife. Some of y'all are going to backslide. Praise God. It's not whip it. It's zip it. I changed the words. Hallelujah. Do you know what happens in your moment of silence? This is what I'm trying to tell you. If you're reading the Word of God, and if you have a relationship with God, he begins to give you his Word. And a verse will pop into your head, and you say, oh my God, that's exactly where I need, that's exactly what I needed to hear right now. And then you say, oh, thank you. I heard that word of comfort. I heard that word of encouragement. Oh, restore my soul. Oh, thank you for the renewal of my mind. Oh, thank you for taking care of this. Oh, Lord, you're awesome. Thank you, Lord. Zip it. Then another verse. Pow. And another verse. Pow. Remember, it's a dialogue. It's a dialogue between two people. And oftentimes we want to control the conversation. And we don't give God not even a minute to talk back to us. We're so rushing. We want to be done because we don't want to miss American Idol. This is Hollywood week. Or UFC. Praise God. We've got to spend time in the presence of God and have dialogue. Allow him to speak to you. The Bible says, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You're never going to get revelation. You're never going to hear the voice of God. You're never going to understand these things if you're not willing to listen and stay in the presence of God. How many know that even the Holy Spirit, if you lose sight and you don't know what else to pray for, but you still feel like there's something left, praise God, the Holy Spirit himself will begin to pray on your behalf. Romans 8, likewise, 26-27, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Saints of God this morning, brethren, whose voice are you hearing? Whose voice are you truly giving heed to? Do you hear the voice of the Father? He will always remind you of your identity in Christ, your righteousness in Christ. He will always remind you that your captivity to sin is over. Amen. Praise God. no longer living in bondage, bound by the law, but set free in Christ. Hearing the voice of God, of the Holy Spirit, is a priceless gift. I encourage you to really tap into this area of your walk where you could begin to discern the voice of God, where you could see the signs, the wonders, even in the heavens. Sometimes I look outside, I look at trees, I look at plants. My wife will tell you, sometimes I stop in the middle of us walking or whatever, and I just say, oh, wait a minute, look at that flower. And I go, and I go, click, and I take pictures of the flowers. I'm serious. You know why? Because I see everything through a spiritual lens.
That's right.
I say, God did that. Listen, the devil doesn't even know how to put a plant together. There ain't no top scientist, no physicist, nobody that could make a flower. Look at how beautiful. Look at how beautiful this flower is. Not only does it look pretty, it smells pretty. It has a scent, a fragrance. And yeah, if you mess with it the wrong way, it'll bite you. It's got little thorns, right? That's a woman, all right. Hallelujah. I'll drink to that. And some of them have more thorns than others, let me tell you. Praise God. Hallelujah. My wife is going to be like, quit while you're ahead, Pastor. I take pictures. I look at animal shows. I look at trees. I look at nature. You know, even walking outside, I see little waterfalls. I take pictures. You know why? Because it reminds me of the beauty. If we could find things beautiful here, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like?
Amen.
You know, I look at God's precious creation, and I find wonder and awe. Even in little bees and little plants and birds and caterpillars. I got four little robin eggs under my deck. And every once in a while I go, and I take a picture to see the progress. It's like a National Geographic. But I love what God has done, and it's only going to get better. I want to end this series and then speak to my sisters. But I want to end with this passage, portion of scripture found in John 16, 12 through 15. These are Jesus' words. And he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is going to take from the Father. And he's going to take from the Son, and he will declare it to you. He will reveal and bring to your remembrance all that Jesus had spoken. It is imperative. It is so crucial to your walk with God to get into partnership with the Holy Spirit, to be able to hear his voice, follow his promptings, his nudgings, to have the unction of the Holy Spirit within you, to understand not only the logos, but even the rhema of God's word, so that you could minister and be effective in your walk, in your life, in everything you do. And it's God's Holy Spirit that's going to hold your hand. And this is why I said weeks ago, don't take the Holy Spirit where you know, don't take him on your escapades where you don't think he could be there. If the Holy Spirit could sit next to you in whatever you're doing, then you're good to go. If you can't take the Holy Spirit, then you might as well not go. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Now, because it's Mother's Day, as I come to the close, I ask God, Lord, how do I incorporate a Mother's Day message into hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit? And you want to know something? His answer was very simple. He gave me a portion of scripture found in 1 John 4. And these are the very next verses of what I just read a moment ago. verses 7 through 11. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." I say this, and we all know it's true. God is love. To know love is to know God. Love gives. Love does. Love is a verb. It is an action word. So many people use love as if it's a noun, but it's not a noun. It's an action. The first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. And the Holy Spirit comes from God. The first attribute of the fruits of the Spirit is love. The love chapter found in 1 Corinthians 13. The very beginning of the word of love starts right in this chapter. And then verse 13, it ends. And now abide, faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. I ask God, is there a love like this found on earth? Can this type of love be found in our daily life? Because to me, that's a supernatural type of love. It's unselfish. It's uncompromising. It's never ending. It's devoted. It's sacrificial. It's a defending love, an outpouring love, an encouraging love, a believing love, the love that is reflected of the Father in heaven. I ask God, is there a kind of love like that on earth? And he says, yes, a mother. That kind of love is found in the heart of a mother. One of our presidents of times past, Abraham Lincoln, he said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." Ronald Reagan, the late Ronald Reagan, he said, "No nation is ever greater than its mothers." The very best gift, as Pastor Daisy said earlier, I concur. The very best gift my own mother gave me was Jesus Christ. She poured the legacy of the Lord into my spirit, and I live to pass that legacy onto my children and my children's children all the days of my life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you." We know that that commandment is the only commandment with a promise. I can tell you the truth. I know of people that did not honor their mother or father and have ended their life shortly or prematurely. That is a fact. If you want to live long on this earth, you must choose to honor those that God gave you as your parents, your mom and your dad. Some of you might say, "Well, they're not worthy of honor. They're not worthy." Well, listen, if God chose those two people's DNA to make you, they are worthy. It's because of them that you're here. And because God chose them to be your parents, they're worthy of honor. They're worthy of respect. Let God deal with them. The Bible holds motherhood in great esteem, high esteem, and so should we. Mothers deserve honor, regardless of whether or not they have been good or bad. It's easy to honor a mom who has given all for her children, but what is not easy is to give honor to mothers who have not. To honor your parents is not really up to them, but it is up to you. It's a choice. God's way is to give her honor no matter what, that your life may be well with you and that it would be long lasting. Let me give you a couple of scriptures for you to meditate on. Proverbs 20:20. "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. I wasn't able to put sprinkles on that one. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23:25. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. Proverbs 30:11. There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. 2 Timothy 3 talks a lot about that particular generation. And we're in that generation now. We look at the courtroom dramas on our TV sets. They've got so many court shows now. But on every single one of them, you'll see a son taking his father to court, or a daughter taking her mother to court, or a mother stealing the daughter's boyfriend, or some kind of craziness. There's so much drama. When you curse your mother, when you curse your father, it does not bring blessing, but it allows portals to be open and the enemy to wreak havoc in your family. Turn it around. Repent from that and ask God for mercy and begin to just give honor. If you don't have nothing good to say, say nothing. But when you speak of them, speak with honor and at least speak with respect. The Bible says, honor your mother and your father. Honor them in life. That means take them somewhere. Do something special. Buy them their favorite perfume. Take them to their favorite restaurant. And if you don't have the money, then supersize it. Praise God. Hallelujah. There are mothers that have made the ultimate sacrifice for you. Many nights they have not eaten so that you could eat. They have given up their sleep so that you could be cared for throughout the night. Countless prayers were given for you to succeed in life, to marry godly spouses, and to be protected and to live well, to be refreshed and made whole. They've given their time, their money, their love, without conditions, without expectations, without any disclaimers, without small print. There's no retirement in motherhood. There's no pay in motherhood. There's no vacations in motherhood. Because even when you become a grandma, you're the full-time babysitter. Praise God. Your mother bore you in the most extreme, agonizing, torturous pain that can be imagined. And after she held you in her hands, that pain immediately changed to love. And that's why they had your brother and sister. Because the love wiped out the pain. Love is the true expression of the nature of God. Love is the true expression of motherhood. And I want you to know that even Jesus honored his earthly mother from the cross. He looked on his mother. And some people say, why did he say woman? I think that was such a beautiful thing. Instead of saying, Mary, behold your son, he said, woman, behold your son. Do you know why? Because he was surrounded by evil, evil people that hated him, guards and swords and spears. And who would have guessed, maybe known, that if he would have said Mary, maybe they would have taken her and tried to beat her too because she was the mother of Jesus. But he looked upon his mother and he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He found time, even from the cross, to care for his mother while he was about to die. he made sure that she would be taken care of long after he was gone. That very hour after his death, John, the beloved, took his mother, Mary, home and cared for her, provided for her, and loved her. Many don't realize this, but that was a blended family established right from the cross. A lot of times we use the word step and half. Those are curse words in my house. Stepbrother, stepsister, half-brother. That's a curse word in the Feliciano residence. Because it's not the blood in your veins that makes a family. It's the blood of Christ that covers. As a matter of fact, you're my brother. You're my sister. Do you know that we'll be together forever and ever and ever? Even my own siblings here on earth, if they don't serve the Lord, we will never see them again. But I'll see you. We'll be sitting together at the table of the Lord forever and ever and ever. You're more brother and sister to me than anyone on earth. Never forget the love of your mother. Even if she made mistakes, she missed a lot of her own life. She sacrificed a lot for you. For those of you that still have the benefit, the pleasure of having your mother still here with you on earth. My mother is gone, but not forgotten. My mother's in glory, and I'll see her again. My wife's mother is gone, but not forgotten. But for you, your mother is here. Love her. Embrace her. Give her flowers now. Light those scented candles now and stop being cheap. Buy another one. Hallelujah. Cook her favorite meals now. Yes. Get her that lobster tail. You know she likes lobster. Look into her. You can have anything you want any day. It's not Mother's Day. It's every day. Every day. You can have lobster every day. Absolutely. Praise God. Tell her. Look into her eyes and tell her how much you love her. She needs to hear it. Give her a kiss. Give her a hug. Be affectionate.
Yes, Lord.
They love that. Ask her for all forgiveness for all the gray hairs you put on her head. Promote her comfort and well-being now while you have the means, because there was a time where you couldn't even wipe your own behind.
Yes, say it.
There were times where you were sick and she would go like this and catch your vomit. Honoring the memory of a mother is admirable, but honoring her while she's alive is priceless.
Yes.
I honor my wife this morning. My wife is a godly woman. She's my best friend. She's a loving and devoted wife. She's faithful and she's loyal. You're my breastplate. She's my greatest Azar, helper. She believes in me even when I don't believe in me. And she's now the food police. I can't even have a slice of bread. Hallelujah. But I love her for that. But a greater mother, there is none. You are the person who epitomizes Proverbs 31 in my life. You have blessed me, your husband, beyond measure. You have blessed our sons and daughters and have been a godly example to them all. You are continuously blessing our grandchildren. I honor you today. I honor all the mothers in this room. Many of you, if not all, are handpicked by the precious hands of God. You have been God's best gifts to me in this ministry. I honor all of you today. I really do. You are my sisters, and many of you, I look up to you like mothers. I know it's not always easy, but all of you make it look so easy. God has gifted me with all the mothers in this room right now. And I'm beyond blessed. I'm highly favored of God. You have all poured in one way or another into my own spirit. You continue to be a blessing to my life and to the life of every believer in this church. I treasure you all, and I hold you all near and dear to my heart. And you have all earned my deep reverence and respect and my love. I honor you, mothers, this morning. Happy Mother's Day to you. We celebrate you and give God thanks for all of you. And I want you to know that this morning, we have flowers that we're going to give at the end of service. We're going to give everyone here some flowers to take home with you. Praise God. There should be enough for everybody. But I thank the Lord, and God bless you this morning in the presence of the living God. Let's bow our heads for a small word of prayer.
We are so grateful to God for allowing us the opportunity to share this message with you. Thank you for listening. We want you to know that you are all in our constant prayers. If you've been blessed by today's program, why not consider partnering with us? To make a donation is easy. You can visit us online at www.specchurch.net, or you can call us at 845-956-0133. Once again, that's www.specchurch.net or 845-956-0133. We invite you to worship with us one Sunday morning soon. Thank you again for your prayers and support. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you.